Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy coming back from a live broadcast. Senator Elizabeth Warren firing up the kids, the young adults at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, all the Dems in Wisconsin there. It is excited. They are excited. We are excited. It's the stretch run. It's the home run here. We got less than 2 weeks before the midterm elections, and now is the time for everyone to get fired up. You can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Crudy will join us as he gets set back up in the studio in Madison. In the meantime, let's get to some of the headlines today. Oh, before we do, I also want to thank the staff over the Atomic Coil last night, the Victory Over the Man Party. We had an absolute blast. Thank you for everybody who came out. Thank you, Hawk. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for all the fine folks and the good times. It was a lot of fun. I could do that every night, I swear. So, yes, Victory Over the Man. Thank you, everybody. Hawk, if you ever are in Madison, make sure you check out Hawk and one of his finer neighborhood bars. I do enjoy the Atomic Coil. So lots of other news today. We mentioned it right before the break at the top of the hour. Let's do it once again. Daryl Brooks found guilty of 6 counts of first-degree intentional homicide on Wednesday for driving his SUV into a crowd of Christmas parade attendees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, last November, killing 6 people and wounding dozens more. I am in Waukesha, Wisconsin right now. That's where this broadcast is originating from, at least from my end of it. And so this is, you know, this hits home. This is a obviously a tragedy. Justice being served, sure, but that doesn't take away from the loss that the families and then the friends and the pain of those that, you know, survived this horrific event that we'll have to deal with for the rest of their lives. So our thoughts go to all of them, and may Daryl Brooks rot in jail for the rest of his life. So, in the meantime, let's talk about the GOP, the rest of the national GOP. What is, I don't know how to put it. It's like a criminal organization, man. Like all these different people associated with the GOP and this insurrection and the conspiracy and all the spokes and the wheels and all their efforts and all the things that are happening and what they're trying to do and how they're trying to obfuscate and hide behind different legal privileges. Well, it's all starting to slowly unravel. We have a few updates in that regard, so let's get to it. CNN has a piece out. This posted last night. DOJ asked judge to force Trump White House lawyers to testify in the January 6th probe. Uh-oh. The Justice Department is actually asking a federal judge to force the top 2 lawyers from Donald Trump's White House counsel's office to testify about their conversations with the former president as it tries to break through the privilege firewall Trump has used to avoid scrutiny of his actions on January 6th of 2021.
We're talking RICO.
It's in RICO Palazzo!
According to 3 people familiar with the investigation. So the DOJ, man, they're coming down hard. The move to compel additional testimony from former White House counsel Pat Cipollone and deputy White House counsel Patrick Philbin just last week is part of a set of secret court proceedings. Secret court proceedings? Tell me more. Trump has been fighting to keep former advisors from testifying before a criminal grand jury about certain conversations, citing executive and attorney-client privileges to keep information confidential or slow down criminal investigators. But the Justice Department successfully secured answers from top vice presidential advisors Greg Jacob and Mark Short over the past 3 weeks in significant court victories that could make it more likely the criminal investigation reaches further into Trump's inner circle. Jacob's testimony on October 6, which has not been previously reported, is the first identifiable time when the confidentiality Trump had tried to maintain around the West Wing after the 2020 election has been pierced in the criminal probe following a court battle. A week after Jacob spoke to the grand jury again, Short had his own grand jury appearance as well, CNN reported. All four men previously declined to answer some questions about advice and interactions with Trump when they testified in recent months in the secret criminal probe. Trump lost the court battles related to Jacob and Short before the chief judge of the trial level, U.S. District Court in Washington, last month. Attorneys for the men whom the DOJ is seeking to compel have declined comment for the story. All have been willing to be cooperative as the law demands, leaving Trump's team to handle the fight over certain details in the investigation. So these cats, you know, they're fighting. They're apparently, according to the reporting, they're down, but, you know, they're kind of hands are tied as it pertains to this executive privilege and how Trump wants to treat it. But as Trump continues to lose in court and now apparently in secret proceedings, perhaps that will happen and Philbin and Cipollone will have to testify. The litigation around Cipollone and Philbin's testimony may be important for investigators in the long run, given how close the pair was to Trump leading up to and during the Capitol riot. Prosecutors are likely to aim for the grand jury to hear about their direct conversations with the then president. The disputes conducted under seal in court because they involve grand jury activity may also spawn several more court fights that will be crucial for prosecutors as they work to bring criminal charges related to Trump's post-election efforts. Witnesses in the federal grand jury has subpoenas, such as former White House officials Mark Meadow, Eric Hirschman, Dan Scavino, Stephen Miller, and campaign advisor Boris Epstein could also decline to describe their conversations with Trump or advice being given to him after the election, several sources are saying. Trump and his allies have used claims of confidentiality, both executive privilege and attorney-client privilege, with mixed results in multiple legal quagmires that surround the former president. Those include the January 6th federal criminal investigation, the Mar-a-Lago document federal investigation, Georgia's Fulton County investigation of election meddling, and the House Select Committee probe of January 6th as well. I mean, all these things continuing to roll forward. Mark Meadows, apparently supposed to now, former chief of staff of President Trump, has been ordered to testify in the Fulton County case. And The Hill is also reporting that the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party on Wednesday asked the Supreme Court to temporarily shield her phone records from the House panel investigating the insurrection. The filing by Ward and her husband, Michael Ward, was directed to Justice Elena Kagan, who handles emergency matters arising from Arizona. Good luck with that, folks.
She may not be as supportive as Clarence Thomas was.
Maybe not. So continuing, further progression of the investigation, certainly by Fulton County and the DOJ, this continues to drip out.
Dom, my only thoughts. Lock him up.
It is, man. I'm telling you, man. It's a criminal organization. Rico Suave.
Dominic, I'd be willing to bet Donald Trump, the alleged Rico Suave, he'll be coming to Wisconsin next 2 weeks.
It's Enrico Palazzo.
I hear you, man. That's entirely possible. I hope you're wrong.
Sort of a last stand, if you will.
I hope you're wrong.
Dom, did I tell you who I saw today?
Besides Elizabeth Warren, Governor Evers, was Mandela Barnes there today?
I did not see Mandela today.
There today. Okay.
Seen him as recently as Monday in Neenah, Wisconsin. But today.
Yes.
I saw Elizabeth Warren today, so I got to tell you, I'm a little giddy here.
I know. I love Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, God. Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, not all of us. Most of us. Those listening to this show certainly do.
I said in the last elective cycle, if I could have picked a president, you know, just plucked one out of the Democratic primary field. Elizabeth Warren had a plan for that, right?
Yes.
I'd like to know what the plan is for Republicans other than like bankrupting the nation, running us off fiscal cliffs. But Elizabeth Warren, man, on the stump, connecting with the kids on campus. First time we ever saw her campaigning on behalf of maybe Mary Burke back in 2014. And we also saw her campaigning for Feingold. Feingold gave his speech and, you know, waved at the crowd and exited stage left. That day, Elizabeth Warren gave her speech and then jumped into the crowd like she was mosh pitting.
She jumped out of the table. Yeah, she is a very excitable
that day,
senator.
The Mary Burke rally, the room was so crowded for her appearance and gubernatorial, if you're amongst the very young that attended this rally. And this was on campus. This was in the Humanities Building on campus. Young crowd, a lot of co-eds, a lot of kids in this crowd. But the last time, and Mary Burke, the former gubernatorial candidate, lost to Walker. Don't want to talk about it. But it wasn't because Elizabeth Warren didn't do a hell of a job stumping for her.
Yeah.
And Warren, like, leaped up on the desk. Like, you know, you've seen those people at the gym. I've never been capable of that high vertical. But where they, like, jump up. I mean, she, like, one leap. And then she, like, pulled Mary Burke up to that level. And she just cast herself amongst the kids. The fact that she is not the president of the United States right now, Dom, makes me just a little sad.
Ah, we love ourselves some Elizabeth Warren. Who else did you see today, Curtis?
Well, Evers. What a dynamic speaker that guy.
Hey, some of the best speaking I've heard Evers do in some time.
Mark Pocan. Unfortunately, I was having a little bit of a feed issue. They were still dealing with the sound when some of the early speakers went off. Probably Crudy's fault. But anyways, I also ventured down to see Trump embraceive former friend of the Devil's Advocates, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Ah, you did it without me. Thank you.
I went to Beloit, Wisconsin. I got to tell you, Dom, when I saw that one go up on the political bulletin board, Ron Johnson to appear in Beloit, Wisconsin, I thought to myself, Beloit, why is that so familiar? It seems familiar to me for some reason. Then I thought, oh, geez, right across the road effectively is South Beloit, Illinois. The place of milk and honey and legalized cannabis.
Man, they're going to give away free weed, I heard today, Crudy. What?
I did hear free weed today. And then I heard Evers question, like, is there free weed?
Yes, there is.
You got to know the right people, as we mentioned. We do, though. They showed up, a few of them, at the party at the Atomic Quay. Dom, I drove to South Beloit, Illinois, just to measure the distance from my favorite dispensary back to where Ron Johnson was doing a little presser. And then they said the senator would like to see you off the record as an aside.
Uh-oh, what'd you do? Come to the office, Crudy.
I got pulled into the insurrectionist principal's office. I'm a little nervous. I'll tell you about it when I come back. More Devil's Advocates.
She calls me from the cold, just when I was low, feeling short of stable.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
All she keeps inside is in
the and we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll get to the phones in just a bit at 844-967-2789.
Just for the record, Tom, that was not a beer, but I've had a few recently.
It's been a couple of long nights, man.
Woo! Long day today. I was working my ass off, man. I don't have much of an ass to start with. Some do. I don't. Dom, I just posted more video of my little press gaggle I was a part of with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. A couple of local TV stations, yours truly, Scott Bauer from the AP, a young looking, I don't mean to characterize her age, but she's like way younger than me, working for Politico, was part of the press gaggle. And Dom, as I had made inquiries to be a part of today's press gaggle, you got to tell the campaign you're coming. And then they disclosed the location. So I did my part. I did my credentialing kind of stuff. And they said, could we get your phone number? I'm thinking, I bet you got my phone number on a fundraising list somewhere, but sure, shared it. And then I got You got an ask for my phone number today, right? Yeah,
Ben texted me this morning asking for your phone number as well.
Ben Vogel, former lieutenant gubernatorial candidate, turned back to Ron Johnson's staffer.
Back to staffer of Ron Johnson, yes.
So we know Ben, and I'm not casting aspersions at Ben, but a couple of people gave Ben my phone number, so I get this call today. Yes, Senator Johnson noted that you were on the press list for the gaggle today in Beloit, and he would like to do an off-the-record conversation with you, Mike, like 5 minutes. Now, in all my life, Dom, I've had off-the-record conversations, but never, you know, like a reach out from the campaign to say, you know, we got to take this one off the record. And then, you know, I got this quandary because I shared that with you. Of course, you're my work wife, so I can share it with you. Pillow talk and all that kind of stuff.
Of course, baby.
And I shared it with you. And what'd you tell me to do, Dom?
Record it.
That's not really fair when you've been asked to participate in an off the record conversation.
It's still off the record. You want to make sure you record it for posterity's sake so you recall
like
properly.
Bob now,
whether
Woodward
or not you share whether or not you share that recording is an entirely separate matter.
Like Woodward interviewing Trump, something like that. Well, so I've been a part of probably 10 off the record conversations in my life, including earlier today. Let me tell you what was said.
Isn't that kind of the point of an off-the-record conversation?
You know, it was funny because the press gaggle ended. Now, I'm going to share some of the questions. Evan, look for it. I just posted some new stuff. So I asked 3 questions of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson during the course of the interview. And, you know, I'm dying to hit him between the eyes on the January 6th stuff. But we're in, like, a private business. We're, like, in a business incubator, something like that, in Beloit. And so, anyways, you know, I didn't want to disrupt all the people when Ron's team felt the need to pummel me there publicly or anything like that. And I'd already been forewarned that Ron had tapped me out, got to go see the principal after the interview. So I didn't know if that was strategery. But if you'll note, Dom, when you see the video I posted, I did close the press conferences. I do many of them.
Well done.
With one last snarky question of the U.S. Senator. We'll share it on the other side, I believe. But then I started beelining for the front door because I got to go to an Elizabeth Warren event, perhaps a much more important event, at least in my priority list. And whoever the campaign staffer, it was not Ben that was there, but somebody said, Mike, the senator still wanted to see you. I'm like, well, I was just going to wait out front. And they said, well, he's going out the back. You know, he's got his senatorial entree point. So I just walked around the corner of the building. Well, there he is. He's taking off his blazer, and they got matching silver GMC, something like that. And it looked like Ron was going to hop in the driver's seat. And I just said, hey, Ron, I hear you want to talk to me. Understanding, I just asked him 3 questions at the press conference. And U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, formerly our friend, Dom, looks at me and says, no, not really.
Not really, dude.
And I'm like, I'm thinking, dude, what's all the precursor? What's all the getting my phone number and getting it again and calling me? I mean, I haven't seen a campaign put that much effort into hating on Crudy since like the Evers campaign at the inauguration. So anyways, then I'm thinking, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but we did. We had this little confab, this momentary, and I don't think I'm betraying the off-the-record nature. And he just said, well, you guys haven't invited me on the show, and I haven't been on the show, and I just want you to know, you know, no hard feelings. I would come back on the show. Now, Ben had told me earlier when we spoke, Ben Vogel from, you know, Senator Ron Johnson's office, but it won't be in the next 12 days. It won't be between here and the election day. You know, we've had Ron right up to election time frame, but not right up to election day. So if we want any more sound of the good senator, we're going to have to go chase him for it. And he did send his regards to him.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, the senator who you've called an insurrectionist many times sent his regards to you, insurrectionist to Dom.
Thank you, I guess. Resign and move back to Minnesota, Ron.
So here's the question, right? Now, I've had an off-the-record. Now, this is not typical journalistic thing. This is just man-to-man stuff. And it was small talk. It was nothing. And if it was more than that, I wouldn't tell you. But it was literally not more than that. It was absolutely
just...
Are
you sure? Did you miss the cue? I mean, did he give you a... You know, did he wink twice? Did he give you some... Maybe there was something you missed, man.
Well, they might have rubbed some anthrax on me because, I've got to admit, we parted with a handshake, Dom. And as I'm shaking his hand, I'm feeling this momentary regret. Like,
you feel a little dirty.
Well, you've shook Ron's hand many times. Ted Cruz, Donald Trump.
Yeah, but that was all
name an insurrectionist hand you haven't shook.
That was all before they were insurrectionists. That was pre-insurrection.
I know, that's the problem. That's the quandary. This was a post-insurrection handshake. Guilty. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be back. Sound of my questions of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from earlier today, and you on the phones, 844-967-2789.
You know, honey, the guys at work tell me there's a special club we can join if we meet the bathroom.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day Edition. Dom, a big political day in the great state of Wisconsin. I believe Glenn Youngkin was in Waukesha, Republican governor of Virginia. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was down in Beloit. I chased him there. We're going to bring you some sound, and we're going to take your calls, 844-967-2789. Most importantly, Dom, my favored Elizabeth Warren on campus today with Tony Evers, Josh Call, Mark Pocan, Francesca Hong, Sarah Rodriguez. I hate to leave Tammy Baldwin. I mean, it was a cavalcade of stars. The Democratic stars came out on campus, Dom, and now they're going out to early vote. The early vote's open. And the kids on campus going out to vote. And Elizabeth Warren's got me all warming my cockles, Tom.
Oh. She is amazing, Crudy.
She is amazing. And the biggest one of all, other than perhaps Bernie Sanders next weekend. I'll try to work in some coverage of Bernie. But Barack Obama, I guarantee you, we're going to broadcast Barack Obama live this Saturday all across the Civic Media Network, 3 to 6 p.m., Tom, approximately. Look for the former president in the happy hour.
Crudy, I did get an email from the Save America PAC, you know, Trump's scam. And apparently he is going to Ohio on November 7th.
He's coming to Wisconsin between now and then.
But you haven't seen anything. That's Crudy's prediction, right?
All
right,
well, I'm just telling you. Speculative
I'm just telling
part.
You. We are now seeing some schedules come out for the insurrectionist bastard president, and he will be in Ohio on November 7th.
I would guess either Green Bay or Mosinidom. Green, you know, he's going to make us travel. I don't think he's coming back to Waukesha, but we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
844-967-2789. Not terribly long, but hopefully worth the trip. I drove down to the sunny side, you know, across the border into Illinois, mostly just as a reconnaissance trip. I hear the kids down there, they can buy the legal cannabis.
Amazing.
At the Sunnyside dispensary. And I looked in the parking lot there, and every car, damn near, Wisconsin plates. It is literally like exit one into Illinois. You don't even have to pay a toll. You don't even make it to the tollway. It's like, now exiting Wisconsin. Welcome to Sunnyside Dispensary.
Right, exactly.
So it's pretty damn convenient. And I would point out, since I was there, the tobacco taxes, I do have my vice, Dom, much, much lower. I saved like $25. So I'm telling you what, I sort of thought my heart and mind going to see Rojo in Beloit today was a win-win. So anyway, stocked
you write
up.
It off.
I don't know about writing it off, but I did stock up. And then I went to the press conference. I used the GPS from the Sunnyside Dispensary. I wanted to see how far it was. 8 minutes by city streets to this business in downtown Beloit, Wisconsin. That's how close it was to the exit one dispensary.
8 minutes. So 8 minutes away from buying legal weed to sitting next to a senator who would have you arrested for buying legal weed.
Yes. And I led the questions of the day. He kind of made sort of a rambling statement just to let the camera guys get ready. And then I asked him a question. And did you cut just minor, or are we going to hear a little Rojo ramble first?
We got a little bit of that ramble if we want it.
I don't know that we need all the ramble. Maybe just the crudy question.
Let's do it.
So damn good.
Let's do it.
Here is how I led the press conference in Beloit today. Dom, play it for the people, Evan.
Senator, there's a marijuana dispensary about 8 minutes from here. I drove over there, and it's full of Wisconsin plates. What's your attitude on legalizing marijuana? Right now, we've got a lot of people doing commerce across the border, sir.
Well, I mentioned this in the debate. In terms of federal action, as long as we have states make that decision for their citizens, I see no reason why they can't use the banking system, because that just creates these mountains of cash and potential for more crime. As it relates to Wisconsin, I would just caution any state.
Listen close.
Is considering whether or not to legalize marijuana for recreational use to really examine what's happening in the states where it has been illegalized. You know, to have my opponent say that marijuana is harmless, he needs to read a little bit more. I think anybody else would as well. But that would be a state decision right here. But I would just caution or tell people you exercise some real caution and really educate themselves in terms of, you know, these experiments in other states.
Well, we've been watching Colorado for going on a decade now.
I've been experimenting for 30 years, Ron, and certainly it was not a articulate statement by the lieutenant governor to say that marijuana is not it's safe or whatever. I mean, forget the term.
Harmless.
There certainly is. I mean, anytime you take a substance, you can't. Hell, man, you can drink too much water and die from that. But the follow up is, Crudy, well, what about the booze, man? I mean, it's way less harmful than alcohol, which we consume a lot of here in the state of Wisconsin.
I didn't choose that moment to follow up. I did take a momentary follow up late in the, you know, the interview, because that's the one that shut her down. So as I asked the follow up question, but let's play a little bit more. Let's move on. Daryl Brooks, the Waukesha, you know, the murderer. He's convicted now. Well, Rojo minced no words, and here's what he had to say when questioned about the verdict at trial.
Well, first of all, I don't think the Waukesha Christmas Parade massacre ever should have happened.
Because it's Mandela's.
Why it happened is because of that type of soft-on-crime attitude, those types of policies, low bail, no bail, letting violent people back out on the streets. So we first have to understand that. I do believe justice has been served. I hope that verdict offers some measure of comfort and peace and closure to the victims. I also want to just say thank you to Judge Doro for putting up with that heinous murder.
Trudy then asked a follow-up question, because Ron Johnson has obviously featured Daryl Brooks in his attack ads against Mandela Barnes. So I pivoted to a question about that. Play it for the people, Evan, whatever number we're up to.
Ron, your campaign ads have often toned and shown depictions of Daryl Brooks. Are you proud of those campaign ads? Do you think they are appropriate sir?
Our campaign ads have told the truth. Unlike my opponent's campaign ads, which have been full of lies and distortions. So, no, I'm pretty proud of the campaign that we've run. I'm pretty proud of, again, my record is Wisconsin's U.S. Senator. I've accomplished an awful lot for the state, and I've told the truth. And when I ran in 2010, I made two promises. I'll always tell you the truth. I'll never vote or conduct myself with my reelection mind. I've honored those promises.
But he did make one more promise, Tom, and I pointed it out to him in the press conference. Cut number six, if you would, Evan.
You did say no third term, though, Ron.
That was my intention. Things change.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We're done here. Right. But that's the strange part. You know, I took one thrice little whacks at Ron. You know, and what I really want to do is hammer him on the insurrectionist. And that's why they're not going to bring him on the show between now and Election Day. But I don't think he will be criminally convicted between now and Election Day. So I would still relish the opportunity to take sort of a prosecutorial tone and go through the whole events of the January 6th with Ron. You know, assuming the team puts him on the
show. Yeah, you know, I always tell the truth, and I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Oh, but what about the two terms? Oh, that was my intention, but things changed. So, yeah, what terrible. Scott Bauer from the AP, he retweeted that, Crudy. You're getting famouser, man.
844. Famouser? How is that even possible? 844. You know, then he pulled me aside, and I was a little nervous just for a second, like, what do they want? Because they made such a big to-do about nothing. But I think he invited himself back on the show, and he wished you warmest regards. And that was it. That was the whole off-the-record.
And that was it. And I tell the truth until things change, and then I don't because, you know, that's what happens.
Well, I told him we bought a bunch of radio stations, and I find myself suddenly in the country music business. And he said, do you want to be? And I said, well, you know, as much as I want to be in the music business, sure, why not country? And that was it. Okay, then. And then he gave me the old Ted Cruz, and I'm staring at his hand just for a moment, Tom. And
oh, man.
I shook it. I'll confess.
Dirty, dirty insurrectionist handshaking bastard.
You don't know that I hadn't done the whatever.
Right.
You know, hey,
this,
you know what
this,
I...
This, hey, does this beer smell right to you?
I didn't give him a stank hand, Dom. But maybe a skunk hand. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
A little resin on there. He goes to the airport next time. He's going to have a problem.
He flies private mostly, I hear. Yeah.
I hear he's got three planes.
844-967-2789. Dean on the road. Welcome, Dean. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dean.
I just had a... I don't want to bust your bubble, but I just had a terrible thought this afternoon.
What's that, Dean?
Kind of shows what we're up against. Now, just think if this was Florida. Daryl Brooks could have got off by saying he thought they were protesters.
The Republicans did, yeah, right. I mean, that was. I don't know if that law passed, right? But they were trying to make it legal for, you know, automobile drivers to plow through protesters that are in the street without any sort of repercussion.
Yeah, I don't know if it passed either, but just something to think about what we're up against.
Yeah, that's terrible. Thanks, Dean.
Appreciate you listening.
967-2789. It is certainly depressing. It is. It's very sad. I mean, you know, dozens and dozens of people hurt, you know, families' lives changed forever. I mean, the dancing grannies, man. I mean, come on. When I took the blue Cadillac in a parade in Whitefish Bay last summer, and we had to, you know, get prepped prior to it. Steph was running the farmer's market, so I put, you know, I had a bunch of stuff, had some kids, you know, people dressed up as vegetables and whatever, and we, you know, were in the parade. And as we were prepping, as we were, you know, getting ready to go down into the parade, we had a staging area, and we were right behind the dancing grannies. I mean, the same folks that, you know, months later, would end up getting run over for no reason whatsoever.
Well, when my kids were younger, we have certainly marched in our share of, you know, not Christmas parades, but 4th of July parades or whatever the case may be with Cub Scouts, etc.
Yeah.
A show note, those of you that would care, we will broadcast this year's Waukesha Christmas Parade. That's going to happen on, I believe it's a Sunday, December 4th. And we locate the Shaw Studios where you're sitting right now, Dom. You're on the parade route, man. They're coming by.
Yeah.
So Don Brown will anchor our coverage. We're going to make a big deal out of it. You know, we stand with our neighbors in Waukesha, and we support them in any way we can. And so those that originate from Waukesha and are of Waukesha and from Waukesha will do the broadcast from Waukesha that day on Wisconsin Avenue, December 4th, about 4 p.m., I believe, but we'll get back to you with a time. I can tell you for sure, Dom, they tell us Barack Obama's coming Saturday about 3, so you better tune in to the Civic Media app or your local station.
This Saturday, October 29th, coming to North Division High School in Milwaukee.
North Division High School, that's correct. Yeah,
that's where he was before, right?
When we came. We've last been time. There before, yeah, yes. Yeah. Us and Earl and the guy that's over on Carmazan's station. The good CJ, welcome. Give you like a minute here, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, fellas. Hey, real quick. Free weed. Holy cannoli. Batman, do I have to scuttle my vote for that piece of action?
Free weed. There was a promise made during the rally. I heard it. Evers' ears perked up.
We broadcast it. Everyone's down. Free weed. Vote Dems. There's a winning slogan if I can find one, CJ. That's it.
The second part of this question is do you guys know what a lioness's pride is?
What's that?
A lioness's pride where the females all gaggle together and they protect the kids from the males. That
like literally lions, yes. Yes.
Yeah, lioness's pride. I think that this vote turnout is going to be probably about 12 million. If they thought the ass whooping was happening last time in 2020 by 8 million votes, I guarantee it's going to be by 12 million votes.
Well, from your lips, good CJ, to lots of women's ears. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-96-PARTY. It's a political party up in here.
You stink, Pump. Take your hand, you stick it in your ass like this.
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.
Did I mean to treat you bad? Yeah.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day already. Man, this day has flown by. But we'll start to take some of your calls. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, that song takes me back to college. And I was on campus today, man. I was like, you know, when I go back to campus now, I'm like Rodney Dangerfield and back to school.
Give me the triple Lindy, man.
You know, I was getting the look. I just got the... Someone asked me if I was teaching on campus.
Like, who's the creepy old guy on campus, man?
Well, some guy like, let me show you to the humanities buildings. Do you teach there? And I said, no, I'm here for a broadcast, in fact. Devil's Advocates, maybe you've heard of us.
We're kind of famous. People know us.
Well, maybe in the room, Dom. I had a few that acknowledged me in the room. A few devilish, fanish kind of people probably listening right now. Well, you can be a part. Tell us your impression. Now, I thought that although they left the people outside a little too long, it was cool in the shady side. But, you know, it wasn't extreme. It wasn't like you couldn't have worn a jacket or something. I just would have preferred to stand in the sun. It was a warm day in the sun. So anyways, once the crowd got in, I mean, they brought them out and they started rolling, dude. And apparently they had a night class in the big auditorium style classroom we were in. So,
yeah,
you know, they kept it moving, Dom. And I like an event like that. Once they got it going and once they got that sound worked out, man, they're just moving through the best of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The only big name not in the room, perhaps, was Mandela Barnes. I suspect he'll certainly appear with Obama in Milwaukee on Saturday at North Division High School. I'll be there. Will you be there, Dom?
I'll
put you in for credentials.
Yeah, man.
Try to keep your options open.
I know the window's like 6 hours. That's not happening. But yes, I will. I'll make an appearance, no doubt.
The window's down to like 3 hours now.
All right, we'll work on that.
Now it's just like waiting for Mrs. Crudy at the ball instead of waiting for the cable guy to show up.
You're right.
844-967-2789. Our pal Dick calling from somewhere from Madison, probably his garage. Welcome back, Dick. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, it is. Boy, I certainly hope good CJ is right, because I just finished reading a profile of Marjorie Taylor Greene in last Sunday's New York Times Magazine. And boy, if we were to lose the Senate, or I mean, and not have a backstop from the House, the thought of her and Jim Jordan in charge of the House should scare the living hell out of everybody on earth. This woman is nuttier than I even thought, guys.
Well,
I can't believe the stuff I read in this article. Cannot believe it.
I strongly suspect she will be amongst the Republican leadership caucus in the new House.
Oh my God. Crude.
But how is that even possible? I mean, Dick, they stripped her of all her committee hearings, right?
That's because the Democrats.
The Dems are in charge. Right, but not for no reason, though, right?
Here's the scary thing that she's got going for her. Do you know who her chief of staff is now? A guy who worked for Tom DeLay, a somewhat normal person.
DeLay wasn't normal. He's one of the most corrupted congresspeople of all time.
I realize that. I realize he was corrupt and all the rest, but he was somewhat normal compared to her.
I mean, right. I mean, all the terribleness that was just below the surface. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she lets it sneak out once in a while.
Well, DeLay took one of the nicest looking mugshots of all time. Had the big smile. Right, he looked impeccable in his mugshot. I wish I looked that good.
And your mugshot? Which one?
I think I've only been mugged once. Mugshotted, that is. Never truly been mugged, Tom, although lost my wallet in a bus in Chicago once.
The thought of the Republicans taking over, and I'm starting to feel like, yes, it's going to be a blue wave. I mean, this is, I don't know how it can be. If I'm wrong, if Michael Moore is wrong, if people don't show up, if Madison, Wisconsin doesn't overperform, if the young women of this country don't come out and register and show the old white men that they don't want them in their bedrooms, if that doesn't happen, you know, we get the government we deserve. And if that means Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan, I mean, it will continue to be a crap show. And in that regard, hey, it's great for radio, and they can only do so much with a Democratic president in Joe Biden. And we'll continue to see the terribleness that is the MAGA movement.
Prepare yourself for the impeachment of Joe Biden. It's coming. I'm telling you, that's what happens if people don't vote. That. Well, I mean, Derek Van Orden in the 3rd District, right, in the state of Wisconsin, They are pouring resources behind an insurrectionist candidate, and as near as I can tell, the Dems are not doing much to answer. They're leaving Brad Path out there to fend for himself. I mean, we've given the guy a little bit of bump on the radio, I would hope, but that's, you know, it takes more of a concerted messaging buy. And they're not buying for that.
Well, and
you lose a seat here and you lose a seat there.
It takes an engaged
and Marjorie Taylor Greene is Speaker of the House.
If that district in Wisconsin, if they're not paying attention, if they think that if you want an insurrectionist as a representative, I mean, Derek Van Orden is your guy. If you want Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan to be leaders in the House of Representatives, then vote Republican. I mean, we get what we deserve, man. What we need is make sure that some of those young, unregistered voters get registered, get out, and then we have to perform for them.
Dominic Mark Pocan, a fine progressive congressman, my congressman, appearing tomorrow about 4:30.
Oh, nice.
844-967-2789. Wisco Paul can give you like a last minute or so. What do you got for us, Paul?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, Devil's good show today. Actually, it's a great show.
You're welcome.
You might as well throw Dick Armey in the mix there. Tom DeLay and Dick Armey. Oh, man. And if she makes them look good, we're in deep trouble if they take over. But I'll tell you, step in the right direction. There's ads on your station, Democratic ads. I wish they could put some of Taft's ads. Or I wish they had the money to put some on there, because it certainly would help. Because you guys, you put together one heck of a deal here. You guys, so
I know AFT has been big on the anti-Ron Johnson. They have been big on the Social Security and the Medicare. They're hitting Ron on those topics. Sadly, Paul, there are a lot of pro-Ron Johnson ads. Here is my parting shot to Ron Johnson today. I told Ron Johnson his campaign had bought ads on my station. I said, Senator, you put $500 in my pocket this week. He said, I wish you wouldn't. I wouldn't have. And I said, but you did. So, you know, the drinks Dom and I had at the bar last couple nights. Thank you, Ron Johnson.
No, I'd rather pay for my own. Thanks, man.
That was insurrectionist tequila you were drinking. Wisco Paul, thank you for listening. Thank you all for listening. Very special live on location with Elizabeth Warren. A little side of insurrectionist Ron Johnson on location, and we'll do it all for you again tomorrow, Dom, with Congressman Mark Pocan in the 4 o'clock hour. Hope you listen. I know you will.
Green's right over there. Zap.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.